In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. It's good to have each of you who are here today. I heard something about last night, how Keith Ross, on behalf of the school board, gave you some good words during your awards ceremonies, and particularly that he recognized the integral role of our own Sister Annie in the way in which you've helped to form these young ones for so long. And so please pass that on to him as thanksgiving from me as well. For she indeed has done a lot for each of us who are here. Thank you, Asa, for setting everything up, and Ashwari as well, wherever you're hiding, probably directly behind this pillar so I can't see you, usually where you hide. Exactly, yeah, that was right, I was told that a little bit earlier this week that you as a senior class got into a little bit of a spirited movement. Is that correct? That there was just an effusion of joy that leapt forth from you. Because you're a class here, the class of 2022, who don't see an open door as an obstacle, do you? But rather an open door is something that you're supposed to go through. And so you went and showed a little bit of that spirit that you have. I appreciate that. I don't know whether everybody else does. But that's there's something in that that can be very good. And that means that you're daring, that you're inviting, that you're willing to go out and do things, unlike so many who are there. And so I wish you well in these endeavors, that you will go through each open door that is placed before you, particularly when it leads to those things which are better. When I myself tried my last few days in my senior year to show a little bit of my spirit, I didn't receive the same sort of discipline that some of you did. I can't tell you what I did, because I don't know if it's appropriate to say in the church, but I was really trying to do something that's completely out of character with me, testing them to see if I could get in trouble, and they just brushed me off and refused to assign any discipline to me, unlike some of you. Maybe I'll share that outside of class, outside of the church with you. I just decided against it. But the readings that we have today, which you've chosen for yourselves for the spiritual gathering on this baccalaureate night, talk about three really themes. You wanted to talk about this movement between darkness and light that are always sent before you. You brought up that reading that talks about a thirst is my soul, a thirst, that there's a longing which is there for something that God has in front of you. And when you chose the gospel, what is the reoccurring phrase that goes all throughout Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11? It's all about blessedness. And I want to touch on some of these themes for you, because they're themes which you yourself have chosen in order to be spoken here this night. And blessedness goes by different words. We don't usually use that blessedness, unless you're probably hearing it from mine or Keith or Bo Lamb or one of your preachers who are out there. You don't hear that word too often. But what another word for that is would be happy. Another word would be fulfilled. Another word would be meaningful, self-actualized. And it shows those eight different ways in the Beatitudes on which one, even though contrary to where your natural mind is going to go, that even within that state there is a blessedness, a happiness, a fulfilledness, a meaningfulness, a self-actualization that can actually occur within you. I don't think there's anybody in here among you who are in the senior class, or anybody who is here supporting you among your family, your friends, your teachers and administrators who are here, who doesn't want to be happy. Is there anyone who does not want to be happy? There are many of us who don't believe that happiness is possible. That's a different thing, isn't it? All of us want to be happy, but sometimes because of something that's happened to us, when we've been hurt, when there's something of our inner nature which has been damaged, we just tend to think that maybe happiness isn't possible for me, and so maybe I shouldn't strive for it anyway, because it's only going to end up in disappointment, because I'm not worthy of happiness, because there's something that's wrong in me, or something that somebody has done to me, or something that's happened in me that's made me feel that it's just too far a goal for me to have. But I want to tell you that there is happiness for you. There's something of great happiness that we had for you, and there are actually secrets to finding out what happiness is. Didn't have much time to prepare, only about 45 minutes to do so. But I want to share with you some of the things that I've come to understand about happiness, particularly over the last couple of years. And I wish I would have known when I was a bit younger, but it saved me a lot of trial and difficulty. But there is a secret to happiness. And the most important secret to finding happiness within your life and to get it right now as you're just leaping forth into the world is important. And that's the first key to be able to do so. And the most important thing is a sense of gratitude. Gratitude is the key to happiness. Happy people are grateful people. And ungrateful people can never be happy, no matter what sort of good things come into their life. They're always going to end up sadder and sadder and more in sorrow and discontent. Oftentimes what we think about is that being unhappy causes you and I to complain. But that's not the way it works. It'd be more accurate to talk about complaining is the very thing that makes you and I unhappy. Become grateful and you'll become much more happy of a person. When I was in seminary, I got to study in Rome. And in Rome, there's all sorts of beggars everywhere that you look. Every round, every corner, there's always somebody there who's wanting something from you. As a seminarian, you don't have any money, so you can't really give much. But to be able to spend some time to speak with them is mostly what I would tend to do. And there was one particular lady by the name of Maria, and she was the most beautiful person I'd ever met in the world, the most beautiful young lady I'd ever set eyes on in my entire life, this beggar on the street corner holding a little tiny baby. By the way, all of them didn't give you your names because they thought they were too complicated, as they were from Romania, and so they just called themselves Maria, every one of them. This particular Maria, she was the most beautiful person I'd ever seen in my entire life. But she had one problem, one flaw, one physical flaw. You know what that flaw was? She was missing a nose. All she had was a gaping triangle in her face, see directly into. And yet she was the most beautiful woman, even to this day, I could say I've ever seen in my life. How would I be able to say that? It's because there was something within her that always caused her to have this just radiant smile that was there. The way she looked up, whether people would pass by and give her something, whether they'd shake their fist at her for begging on a place where maybe she shouldn't have been, she would just always smile at everybody who was there and have some sort of word to be able to share with them in any way and let them pass by, whether they gave her anything or not. And I used to marvel at her happiness. What was it? And when I spoke to her one time, asking her a question, I said, "Well, isn't there something about the fact that you don't have a nose that sort of has damaged you in some sort of way? How could you be so radiantly happy when you are missing that, which is there?" You know what she said to me? She said to me, "I don't have a nose, but you see, that's actually something that's good, because now I never have to worry about getting a runny nose." She had a little sense of humor that went along with it. You have to have a sense of humor to be happy within this life and to be grateful for the very things that you do have. And that's one of the great secrets to being able to find your way forward within life. There are some clear rules about happiness. And one of the other rules about happiness is that you can't be happy if the primary idea that you have about yourself is that you're a victim, even if you really have been victimized in many great ways. There are a number of reasons. People regard themselves as victims, do not see themselves as in control of their lives, because whatever happens to their lives happens to them, but not by them. That people primarily regard themselves as victims see that the world is unfair to them in a particular way. Just as a young student always sees the world as being unfair to them because they're being picked on in some way. And so because of that, they're an unhappy soul. And so a person that carries that attitude into adulthood, people who regard themselves primarily as victims are angry people. An angry disposition, when you're angry at everything that's around you, it makes happiness as something that's always far beyond you. You can never achieve it in that way if you're always seeing yourself as the victim of other people's cruelty. People who've chosen to regard themselves as victims cannot allow themselves to enjoy life, because enjoying life would challenge their perception of themselves as victims. And so what I challenge you to do, that no matter what you've gone through within your life, and some of you have gone through some very difficult situations, and some of you still have many greater difficulties left within your life, but to challenge you not to see yourselves as primarily a victim, but to see what it is that you can do about that. One of the third things I want to mention to you is that a lot of times, you're tempted, and as a seminarian, I was tempted to do this a lot too, is to fall myself prey to the missing tile syndrome. And do you know what that is? Something that you'll learn about in college if you haven't heard about it yet. A missing tile syndrome is not to see that there may be a million things that are going exactly right, but there's one thing that's just a little bit wrong. And that one thing that's just a little bit wrong becomes the object of everything within yourself. Young ladies, probably this is something that maybe you struggle with when you are getting ready and beautifying yourself in the mirror in the morning. There's just that one little thing that's off, and it occupies all your attitude, and you just got to change that one thing that's there. Not seeing that if you're trying to impress a young man, he probably won't even know what that thing is and just be overawed in the fact that you're a girl and you've got all your parts and everything together, and that's good enough for him. But we focus on the one thing within our lives that is absolutely wrong. That's absolutely wrong. So if we have this wound within ourselves and we see ourselves as, for example, being overweight, then all you see with people is that they've got, everybody else has a flat stomach, or everybody else is a perfect specimen of fitness in this way. And you see everything through that lens of the one thing that you lack. If you think of yourself as not being as intelligent as others, well, then you see everybody else as though they have bright intelligence, or if they're so gregarious and so engaging within conversation, you see that your jokes fall flat. And because of that, you see everybody else as having that one thing, whether they have it or not. And so you find that you're unable to find any happiness in that way. In the seminary, we used to talk about it as this. Two keys to not making it through seminary and for falling fat and falling into despair was this. It rhymes, so it was easy for us to say to each other and remember. It was this simple phrase: compare and despair. Compare and despair. When you find yourselves comparing yourself to other people, you're always going to find out that somebody is stronger than you, that somebody on the field is faster than you, that somebody is more attractive to you or has this or that that you don't have. Somebody has more privilege than you have, or somebody has this more than you have. You'll always be able to find that one person who has that thing that you yourselves do not have. And when you compare yourself to them, you'll always find yourself as lacking. So the key to that, to really being happy, is to not to compare yourself to others, but to really count the things that you actually have, to go back to it and to say, what am I grateful for that I do indeed have? Each of you are here. God willing, there's somebody who's back here who's here to support you. And that's not something to be scoffed at in the least bit. That you have those who are supporting you who are here, those who arranged this service to be just like this. The gifts that you yourself have been given. There's a million things that you have to be thankful for. Don't focus on the missing tile within your lives. The one thing that's missing in the what would be for you perfection. But when you count all the good things that you do indeed have, then your happiness can begin to build. And the last thing that I want to share with you is that happiness is something that is dependent upon self-discipline. Oftentimes what happens is that you and I are the biggest obstacles to our own happiness, because it's much easier to do battle with society, with others who are outside of us, than to work on fixing what needs to be changed within ourselves. Each of you has agency. None of you made it to this point just because you skated by, just because you somehow were passed along, I hope anyway. I haven't talked to your teachers. Mr. Flores, I know, doesn't pass anybody along unless they achieve. And so you wouldn't have made it to this point if he, at least as one teacher, didn't make you work and to put in your effort. Each of you have talents and skills and things which are unique to you and a true gift to the world. And when you allow that self to become better and to continue to work on what God has indeed placed within you in raw matter, you yourself can build a happiness for yourself. If you find that there's something that's wrong within your own self, well, then find the very one way in which you can begin to change that. If you find that you yourself aren't the physical specimen that you'd like it to be, well, then as you would know, if you put hour after hour in the gym, if you make sure that you wake up a little bit earlier, if you want to be a great writer and begin in the very beginning of the morning to take to that task, if you apply yourself in this way, you can begin to form yourself into the one that you're called to be. As it speaks about in the scriptures, St. Paul says, I beat my body into submission. I must make it my slave. And so too, in the same way, it says that physical discipline, St. Paul says, is of some effect within this life. But he says spiritual discipline is effective both in this life and toward the life which is to come. So what are you going to do to begin to change your situation? The effort am I willing to put in to attempt at something which is going to increase my happiness rather than accepting my lot just as it is? Deacon Marvin gave you each a candle. You have that in your hands? Now the candle that you have right there, if you hold it up against the person next to you, you're probably going to see that that candle is somehow not the same size as the others, is it? Somebody next to you has the bigger candle. Others of you have the smaller candle. Some of you might have even got the little nubs that are there. Each one of those candles are candles which have burned here at the altar all throughout the past year. All throughout this year, 2022, while you've been studying. Some of them burned more. Some of them burned less. Some of them have been deformed by the various forces that have gone on there. And that represents in a great way the same way in which your life has been. When you go through moments that are to come within this upcoming year, I want you to remember the gift that you've been given now in this candle. And instead of using it as something to compare as to whether one is bigger or one is greater at the next, when you're going through difficult times and hardships, I want you to realize that the candle has a use other than the fact that Father needed to get rid of candles at the end of the year. What are candles used for, Joaquin? That's right. And so whatever darkness lies within your path over this next number of years, remember one important thing. St. Francis of Assisi said it well. He said that all the darkness of the world can't extinguish the light of a single candle. And so when you're in the midst of a dark place, all you have to do is light it. To follow up on where we began in saying that the most important key to happiness is to develop a sense of gratitude for the great blessings which God has given you, and maybe to begin enumerating those things, the saying goes that it's better to light one single candle than to curse the darkness. Rather than cursing the situation that you have and complaining, to see what it is that you can do to begin to change your situation. And I'll close in particular with one passage from Jeremiah 29:11 through 14. And it was my senior verse that we had when I graduated from high school 20 years ago. Because I was a senior class chaplain, I was the one who got to choose the verse for it. And so I share it with you as well. And these are the words of God speaking to you in the midst of darkness and difficulty and unknowing, which you enter into this new year as you prepare to depart from us. God says this. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Indeed, the Lord says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from the place of captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." That's Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. And what it says to you and I there is that even though you're going, and maybe some of you have an idea where you're headed, some of you have no clue. Just like when I graduated from college, I had no clue, or from high school as well. And yet, God has a plan that He's already put in store for you, not to harm you or to bring destruction upon you, but to give you a future that's full of hope. He says that any time you call upon me, I will be there. And when you seek me, he says, you indeed will find me when you turn back to me with the whole of your heart, and even to the places where you banished yourself to, going far and wide from God, running every which way in vain because you're trying to find your happiness elsewhere than where it can truly be found. What our Lord says is this, that I will bring you back, that I will bring you back to myself from all the places where you've run and banished yourself to, and I'll bring you back into those places carrying you back to myself. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. A place that you and I can go to find comfort and to realize that we're not alone. Wherever it is that these upcoming years lead you, whatever distress you find, whatever hardships are there, realize one thing. The one thing that we taught you when we prepared you for confirmation. The one phrase that we had you say over and over again if you were going to pass and to make progress within your desire to gain this great sacrament. It was to remind you why it is that God made you. You remember what that is? I'll say it for you, and I won't force any of you to say it once again. You said it enough in the exam. You're smiling because you remember it now. God made me to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Why? So that I could be happy with Him, joyful with Him, forever in heaven. That's why God's made you, brothers and sisters. And no matter what difficulties you find yourselves in, the Lord is always calling you back to that very same place. And when you seek Him, indeed you will find Him. When you seek Him with all your heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.